Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right to your calls in just a moment. And I'm going to first make a statement that I do not want to have misunderstood as a political statement. But I do want people to recognize how far we have come. President Barack Obama says that the Bible teaches slavery, that the Bible teaches that eating shellfish is an abomination, that the Bible teaches stoning your child if he strays away from the faith. But think back in recent history, well, fairly recent history. Think back to President Theodore Roosevelt. He said, every thinking man, when he thinks, realizes that the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven with our whole civic and social life that it'd be literally impossible for us to figure what life would be if those teachings were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all the standards to which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. How things have changed. But you don't have to curse the darkness. You can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Has God spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration does just that. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift this month. Also, when you send $100 or more, we'll send you Has God Spoken? Personalized to you, a family member or a friend, or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration out to you in a personalized fashion as well. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 CRI. Right to our phone callers. First up, Roger, listening on Bot Radio in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question was, I'm a truck driver, and my question was in regards to communion. And I was wondering if it's only proper for a pastor to administer communion, or if, for instance, if I'm on my truck, if I can have communion by myself. And I was wondering what your perspective on that is.
Well, communion points to community, which is to say communion is what is celebrated as the body of Christ. And I think that has to be kept in mind when we partake of the elements, that it is done within the body. Just as baptism is not a singular activity, it's done within a context. It is both edifying to believers, and it is a testimony to the unbelieving world. And I think that is the same thing. As we partake as a community of the elements, we are remembering the body of Christ, and we are remembering that we are the body of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Michael, KQCV, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Michael.
Hello. I would like to understand what you believe the fate of Judas was, because he obviously understood who Christ was, that he was the Son of God, and I'm sure that he believed in him, even though he betrayed him. So, I mean, what do you believe that his fate was when he died?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it brings up the idea, or the definition, I say more properly, of what saving faith is. It's not just knowing something. It's not just agreeing that what you know is true. The demons do, as you point out, and they tremble. But it is trusting. So true saving faith or belief entails knowledge, assent, or agreement, and trust. Therefore, someone who is saved is someone who is depending on Jesus Christ alone. Judas loved what was on the master's table. Judas did not love the master, and that is why Jesus pronounced him a devil. Obviously, he wasn't ontologically a devil, but he was inspired by his father, the father of lies. And remember in Acts, the apostles prayed, Lord, you know everybody's heart. Show us which of these two men, talking about Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias, that you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. I think the indication is that while Judas was sorry about the consequences of what he had done, he was not sorry for his condition and therefore didn't genuinely repent. I think that's a theological deduction we can make from the whole of the biblical text.
Okay, so, but don't we in fact betray Christ when we sin?
Well, no. If you are a believer, you can slip on board, you can't slip overboard, and that is to say that when you do sin, as 1 John tells us, we are to confess our sins and recognize that He's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can break our communion with God through sin, but we can't break our union with God through sin.
Okay. Well, that's very clear then.
Well, I appreciate all right. Your call.
Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jennifer, listening in Iowa. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine. I have a question regarding the Westboro Baptist. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah,
I don't know if they're calling it a certain religion.
Yeah, it's a very embarrassing group of people that is used by the media or abused by the media as an exemplar of Christianity, but in fact has little to do with authentic New Testament Christianity. Instead of reaching, they've made a cottage industry out of repelling.
Thank you. My husband is a soldier, and he's been to war or deployed 7 different times to Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, you name it. In the past 20 years, he's been overseas. And just this past deployment, he just got home 2 weeks ago, but we had a soldier who unfortunately was killed in action, and me being a military wife supported the family of the soldier who was killed, and we were there, and that group was there as well. And they threatened me and my family and said some very horrible things regarding my husband. And I just wondered, how could someone claiming to be religious be so ugly like that?
Yeah, exactly. And this is the whole point. As Christians, we are called even to love our enemies. We are called certainly to be able to discern what the Bible really teaches. But here's the problem. They don't know how to read the Bible for all its worth or mine it for all its wealth, and therefore they take texts out of context and they abuse them to communicate their own legalistic prescriptions that have little basis in reality. So they're constantly tarnishing not only Christ, but they're tarnishing the biblical Word, which is the infallible repository, which we have been given as a standard for life. Instead, they're turning it on its head, dragging Christ's name through the mud.
Well, I just was really curious as to what a man of your stature and your knowledge would have to say about something regarding how they felt and how they deal with people in general who don't belong to their I don't even know what to call them, their certain religion, because it just seems to be so severe to even call it a religion.
Yeah, it's very cultic,
very ugly,
actually.
And I felt horrible afterwards, and I'm having a hard time trying to forget them.
Yeah, well, it's very cultic from both a sociological and a theological perspective, and unfortunate, and we are very thankful for you and for your bringing this up on the broadcast and for standing for truth, because truth ultimately does matter.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it, Jennifer. Thank you so much for your call. We are so appreciative of people that stand with this ministry because truth matters. We do what we do because truth matters. Controversy for the sake of controversy is sin. Controversy for the sake of truth, a divine command. And so we are not seeking to be popular. We are not seeking to be politically correct. But we are seeking to give people genuine answers to their questions, again, because truth matters and ideas have consequences. We want you to think biblically. We want you to be able to read the Bible correctly, because many people marginalize the Bible today, not recognizing what it says. And therefore, they take texts out of context and abuse them as pretexts for whatever seems to be their fancy. So we not only have to answer the question, has God spoken, but the attendant question, if God has spoken, and indeed he has, what has God said? And all of that is done in my book, Has God Spoken?, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web. Back to the phone lines, Tyler, listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a question about the end of the last book in the First Testament. I think it's the very last couple paragraphs. God says that there can be no, images made of what the Jews have seen in the seas, on land, or anything like that. I forget the actual passage off the top of my head. I'm kind of stage fright. But I wanted to know if churches today that have, statues, and there's thousands of pictures of Jesus and all that stuff, if then that would be wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with an image. There's something wrong with worshiping the image, and that is the point that is made in the biblical text. We shouldn't bow before an image. We shouldn't worship an image. We shouldn't make an idol out of anything. So the issue is not that you can't have a facsimile of something like the cross. The problem is when you take the cross and make it an idol, as opposed to recognizing what it signifies. So again, the point is not whether you can have an image. The point is you cannot make an idol out of the image.
Okay. Okay, that really answers my question. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I've written about this somewhere. I was actually trying to find out where I wrote about it. The information available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The Christian Research Journal answers many of the questions that people ask right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For example, on a previous edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I was asked about the emergent church. Well, we have an article in the Christian Research Journal, Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. So the kinds of cutting-edge questions that people ask about are answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but also in the Christian Research Journal, or when you go to the World Wide Web, you can find all kinds of resources that will equip you, encourage you, motivate you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and to be able to do that with gentleness and with respect. You can stay abreast of everything that we do at the Christian Research Institute through our CRIE newsletter. Special events, future broadcasts, people that I'm going to interview on the broadcast, special e-store, Christian Research Journal offers. You can find it all by being part of CRI's e-newsletter. Go to equip.org, front page, click on the Sign Up Today button, and when you do, we'll also provide you with a free wristband that has our moniker on it, or our slogan, Because Truth Matters. It is available as Quantities Last, available again through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. If you do not have a copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, many of the questions that I answer right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answered in that resource as well. One other thing I want to make you aware of is we always say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. Well, we absolutely have those essentials codified in the acronym DOCTRINE, available in a laminated 4x6 flip chart that you can check out on the World Wide Web as well. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Questions about apparent contradictions in the Bible. Questions about gender-inclusive language, sexual abuse, and much, much more. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
The Christian Research Journal is a magazine designed to ground Christians in their faith and sharpen their discernment skills. In the latest edition of the journal, William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that existed prior to the fall. He proposes that just as the effects of salvation at the cross of Christ reach both forward in time, saving present-day Christians, and backward, saving Old Testament saints, so the effects of the fall reach forward and backward in time as well. To learn more, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will return after this short break. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us now to pray. And he said to them,
when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Learn to have a real relationship with the lover of your soul with Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus. Available on audio CD or in paperback with study guide as a thank you for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you visit us on the web at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and let's return to our callers. Darwin next, listening on Sirius XM 131, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Darwin.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your ministry. And my question is, once saved, always saved. I'm kind of curious. I'm reading in Romans. That's where I'm at currently. And it's the 11th chapter. And right around verse 22, it talks about, I guess it's referring to the being grafted in, the Gentiles versus the Israelites. And I'm wondering, does that apply to the, I've heard, different opinions on once saved, always saved. And then I also, Hank, think about, back in the garden with Adam and Eve, and then, how God showed favor on, when Cain and Abel did their thing, and then Esau and Jacob and their thing. And I'm kind of tying the whole thing into, we're called. And then, so I guess, once saved, always saved, does that apply to, our faith, or?
Well, a couple of things I would say about that. First of all, there's true Israel and those who are not true Israel. And if you're not true Israel, then you're a synagogue of Satan, regardless of what your nationality is. So ultimately, okay. It has to do with spirituality, and there are many people who have a said faith as opposed to a real faith. Judas was cut off. One would think that he was the real deal. He was part of Christ's inner circle. So if we would have looked at him prior to the time that he betrayed Christ, we would say, wow, I want to be like Judas. He looks like the absolute real deal to me. He's in the inner circle. He's performing miracles. He's preaching the gospel. And yet, we know that Christ described him as a devil, because Christ does not look at the externality. He doesn't look at an orange taped to a tree. He knows if the tree is genuinely producing the orange. And we don't always see that as clearly, because we can easily be fooled. So I think there's a difference between those who have a said faith, those who say they believe, and those who genuinely believe. If you genuinely believe, then you have a promise. You have the promise that he who began the work in you will carry the work on until that work is completed. You have the assurance that he who believes has everlasting life, and therefore we don't have to suppose that it's necessary to be born again and again and again. If you're born again, then you are his, he is yours, and eternal life doesn't start then. When you die, it starts at the moment that you embrace the one who died in your place. I think of 1 Corinthians 1, one of my favorite passages, in which Christ promises to keep us strong if we are in Christ to the end. Therefore, we're going to be overcomers. We're in the overcomer. Or Jude 24, that guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you before his glorious presence without fault. Again, not because our righteousness, but because of the foreign righteousness imputed to us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ laid to our account. And one other passage that always sticks in my mind that is poignant and profound, it's in Ephesians, I believe, 1, where you have the surety that you were marked in him with a seal. What is the seal? It's the promised Holy Spirit. He's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So as believers, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and our temple has become the temple of God.
And thus, you know, God will know us, or they will know us by our fruits. And as you said earlier in our conversation, you know, and it refers to it in Romans as well, that they're, you know, God and is looking at our heart, and he can see our heart versus our external, you know, we being finite, we can't see that, but it makes total sense. And I'm kind of confused because I had a guy talking about, you know, how you're predestined back in the garden. And I know that's a whole other question, but.
Well, it's a related question, but remember that predestination is a biblical concept. So we don't dispense with predestination. In the Christian community, all people believe in predestination, but the basis of predestination is what is debated. In other words, on what basis is someone predestined? Is it based on God's foreknowledge? Does he look down the corridor of time and see what you will do and choose you on that basis? Or perhaps does he just predestine you based on his own pleasure and predilection? There are those that say that. They say that there are those who are born doomed from the womb to certain destruction. There are those who are elect. In fact, the basic paradigm being that everyone is created in such a way that they can't respond, and only those who are regenerated can then respond in faith. They are the elect. So there are different paradigms and different theological constructs that seek to answer that question, but the underlying belief in predestination is unanimous amongst Christians because it is a specific doctrine taught in the Scripture. Again, the difference between Christians is on what basis does God predestine?
Sure. Well, Hank, if you could recommend something that I can get deeper into the Word, I don't know. I just pray for discernment. I pray, you know, that the Holy Spirit lead me. But I really need something like what you've talked about it for years, just knowing the different doctrines and things like that so that I understand the Word of God better, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And if you'll hang on, I'll just, since you've asked with such passion, I'll send this out to you as my gift. But hang on, memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine. Of course, the importance of essential Christian doctrine can hardly be overstated. That's why we're having this conversation. These are the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. And as the North Star is an unchanging reference point, so essential Christian doctrine has safely guided the church. Essential Christian doctrine is the foundation. Think about that. The very foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests. And that is from his deity to the eschatological certainty that he will appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. So essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. All other religions compromise, confuse, or outright contradict essential Christian doctrine. Muslims are a classic case in point. They dogmatically denounce the doctrine of Christ's unique deity as the unforgivable sin of what they call shirk. So they affirm the sinlessness of Christ, but deny his sacrifice on the cross, his subsequent resurrection, as the only hope for humankind. Again, to internalize what you believe, I've organized the main and plain things of Scripture around the memorable acronym doctrine, so you can master why you believe what you believe, and you can also have the supporting evidence developed into easy-to-assimilate bullet points. The flip chart, 4x6 laminated, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Scott, listening on KTAA, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Scott.
Hello. I've listened to your program and Walter Martin's before you for decades.
Thank you.
It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question is about gender-inclusive language. I noticed that Bibles, especially in the last 50 years, have become more and more, I guess, what you would call gender-inclusive in the pronouns that they use, and in other language they use human instead of man, for example. And, in fact, the New Revised Standard Version, I think, goes too far in that, in my opinion, whereas the 1984 printing of the New International, I think, is about right in that score. The New International's come out this year with the new one, and I think it's too gender-inclusive. But anyway, what is your opinion on gender-inclusive language? I think it could go too far. I like some of it, but I think it can go too far. What's your take on it?
Amen. I do think it can go too far. There certainly are acceptable words that have been used. The word they is a singular pronoun. It may not be literally perfect, but works. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. That has been changed to, if any brother or sister sins against you, rebuke the offender, and if they repent, forgive them. I think that's acceptable. But here's the deal. The Bible tells us God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And as God created both male and female in his image, he does not participate in one or the other gender, but rather transcends gender. But the one who transcends gender tells us how to think about him. And therefore, we don't want to speak in terms that do not provide corollary to how God has taught us to speak about him. I would also mention that the Bible uses masculine titles for God, Father and Son. It also employs feminine images for God. For example, God is imagined as a mother in Isaiah 49, a midwife. His judgment of Israel is likened to that of a mother bear robbed of her cubs. So whether masculine or feminine, all such images are anthropomorphisms or personifications that reveal God to us in ways that we can understand. And because the Bible, or the language of the Bible, is a heavenly condescension, we want to remain consistent in speaking about God in the way God has designed for us to speak about him. I've written about this in various places, and if you hang on, we can send you some information in that regard. Thank you very much for the encouragement. Do remember that this ministry is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot do what we do. All this month, for your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken, my brand new book. It is out. It is available to our constituency. Again, for $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy. For your gift to the ministry, I'll send you Has God Spoken? Or if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultant standing by as we speak, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. If you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, do so today. It's an award-winning magazine. You can check out the beauty of the magazine. You can see it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and stay connected with CRI through our CRI e-newsletter. Check that out. When you go to equip.org front page, click on the Sign Up Today button, and we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
We'll be right back. Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is God's inspired word. But if God has indeed spoken, then we ought to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is the only infallible repository of what He has said. In Hank Hanegraaff's memorable work, Has God Spoken?, he gives you the tools to do just that. Through Hank's unforgettable acronyms, you'll learn and remember the truth about manuscript copies, the archaeologist's spade, prophetic stars, and much more. The special memorable snapshots at the end of each section will keep the facts at your mental fingertips for a lifetime. We would like to send you Has God Spoken? As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month. Donate online at equip.org or by calling 888-7000-CRI. Let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Roger, El Paso, Texas. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Hank, how you doing, brother? God bless you and the ministry.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you a question. I've been getting into the Word, and I'm just a little bit, it's just a question as to the Matthew. You wrote the book of Matthew, obviously, and in verse 19, he quotes the Lord as far as therefore go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Yeah, the Great Commission. Yes.
But then I go over to the book of Acts, and then for some reason in verse 1 and in chapter 1, verse 12, it emphasizes, for some reason, it names the 12 people that were present there at the day of Pentecost, and it included Matthew. And then it continues on to Acts 2, where on 38, where Peter stands up and he replies, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. My question was, why is it, if Matthew was present and he was the one that quoted Jesus, that's the way you should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, why is it that he didn't stand up at that moment and rebuke Peter as far as, or say, hey, Peter, you know, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, well, look, they're not prescribing different formulas. What they're saying is that we are to be baptized by the authority vested in the one true God who is revealed in Scripture. So to be baptized in the name of Jesus is to be baptized on the basis of our belief in his death, burial, and resurrection. When a police officer commands someone to stop in the name of the law, the power is not in the words. The power is in the authority it signifies. Or when a physician, a doctor, provides someone who is sick with a prescription, their trust is not in the paper on which the prescription is penned. It's the potion towards which it points. And that's the point with baptism. The power is not in a formula. It is in the heavenly doctor, the heavenly physician, to whom the act of baptism points. Baptism is not essential for salvation. It's essential for obedience. It's for that reason talked about as the first act of obedience. Those who were saved at Pentecost, they were baptized in evidence that they had been saved. But here's the problem that you have today. Error begets error. And therefore, the belief that a person has to be baptized only in the name of Jesus ended up taking Pentecostals and making oneness Pentecostals out of them. And that led to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but rather to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And that's why they end up calling the Trinity a pagan doctrine. So again, it is on the basis of a misunderstanding. And this gets down to the root of not being able to read the Bible for all it's worth. If you're not able to read the Bible for all it's worth, you're going to come up with these kinds of notions that take the nature of God and end up destroying the very foundation on which our understanding of God rests to begin with.
Okay. So, I guess that would explain why in the whole book, in the whole Bible, there is no evidence as far as anybody being baptized in the three titles, but in the name of Jesus, right?
Well, here's the deal. They think that the Father becomes the Son, and then the Son becomes the Holy Spirit. So this is like an actor who changes garb, but it's the same actor. That's not how God taught us to think about himself. The Bible says there's only one God. The Bible says the Father is God. The Bible says the Son is God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible makes clear in the Annunciation, in the baptism of Jesus Christ, in the Great Commission to which you allude in Matthew 28, the Bible says that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. That's why as Trinitarians, we are simply communicating what God has taught us to communicate about himself. One God by virtue of nature or essence. Three in terms of identity formed and completed. on the basis of distinctions within the Godhead. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Holly, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. I'm so glad to talk to you. I really think you're the best teacher, and you're very gifted. My question involves my husband. He, after 18 years of marriage, I found out that he'd been sexually abusing my daughter since she was 8 years old, and she came to me when she was 16. And I tried, I don't know why, to try to patch things up in the family and get him to give his life to God. You know, we didn't take it to the police, but anyway, it ended up where my daughter wanted that, so we finally did that, and he's in jail now. But since then, he's repented, and he's gave his life to God, to Jesus. And I think that he really has, but my daughter wants me to have no part of him. And my puzzlement is, what does God want me to do? I'm just really not understanding.
Well, a couple of things I would say, Holly. First of all, I'm really sorry for the tragedy in your life. And once that kind of trust is violated, it's very hard to reestablish that kind of trust. And I do appreciate your very kind words about this ministry and about my part in this ministry. But I also want to caution you that what's important in these kinds of circumstances is that you have someone in a local church, someone that knows you and knows your circumstance, that can help guide you through this very difficult circumstance. As much as I would like to be that person, I can't be because I'm not there. I think you need someone in your area that can directly work with you in this process, because it involves not only your gentle and tender heart in terms of wanting to be reconciled despite the horrendous evil that has happened within your family, but it also involves your daughter who has gone through what is quite frankly unthinkable, or ought to be unthinkable. So it's a very difficult circumstance, and ultimately, if healing can come to the circumstance, both on the part of your husband in terms of committing his life to Christ, genuinely repenting and seeking reconciliation and restoration, and then your tender heart and wanting to reconcile with him, but also your daughter, so that your daughter isn't further scarred in the process. This is a very difficult circumstance, and it does need hands-on, as it were, attention in your area within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. And I'd like to do everything I can to assist you in that process, but I also want to publicly recognize to you my limitations, because I'm just not there physically.
I was thinking of a scripture about if someone does something, but it causes someone else to stumble. Like, say, I did stay with my husband, but it turned my daughter away from God permanently. You know, I'm thinking, I know you said, and I do plan to seek a counselor in my area, but I'm just wondering if that kind of came to me as maybe a message from the Holy Spirit, you know, some kind of discernment that maybe it would be better if we were separated and that he would have to prove himself. He would really have to prove, you know.
Well, you definitely have grounds for divorce. Again, the question becomes whether that's best, and that has to be decided in conjunction with your church, your pastor, and leading ones in that church that can help you in this regard. Again, I'd like to do whatever I could, but I also don't want to overstate what I can do as an electronic voice. I can come alongside the work of the local church and try to augment it, but I can't be the local church. But I can tell you one thing, I will pray for you. This is a difficult circumstance for you, for your husband, and for your daughter. And my prayer will be that God will bring reconciliation that becomes a testimony to the world.
Thank you so much, Hank. You're very understanding. I just have felt like there's nobody I can talk to, but I recently joined a Presbyterian church at with the help of my friend, and everybody is just so friendly. I feel like I've come home to a new family, whereas my family that I have now just doesn't understand, at all.
Yeah. Well, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Holly, for the tender heart that you have given her. I pray, Lord, that you would give her peace in the midst of the storm. I pray, Lord, that you would bless her and her daughter. Oh, Lord, you can do what we cannot do. You can bring healing where we can't imagine it. Lord, I pray that you would give Holly the very best counsel, your people acting in your behalf, your hands, your feet in her life. Bless her. And Father, may she be a testimony to her, your grace. Father, thank you for genuine conversion that can come to those who have sinned recklessly. And Father, bring healing to her daughter's heart. We pray all of this, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hank. Much love, and continue on. You're just the best, in my opinion, and I listen to you every chance I get. So thank you so much for all your efforts. They're muchly appreciated.
Bless you, Holly. Anything we can do on a practical level, let us know. We are at a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And thank all those people from my heart for making this broadcast a reality, for giving us an opportunity to minister to those like Holly, her daughter, hopefully her husband. Lord can do amazing things through his people, but we are his hands and his feet. And I thank those who have been that to allow this ministry to make a difference while there's yet time. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to help you understand complex Bible passages, to help you grow closer to God, and to equip you to defend the faith in our culture. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will accomplish that. So contact us today. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org.
or call 888-7000-CRI.